Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The city of North Pole will begin accepting applications to connect to the recently expanded water system. Public Works Director Bill Butler says North Pole will kick off an effort next week to sign up people who live in two areas on the west side of town during open house events Monday at City Hall.
To get people from zones 1 and 2 where the water pipes have been installed and now have water flowing through them, and they can sign up for installations to begin spring 2019.
Butler says there are about 230 potential customers in zones 1 and 2, which are located west of Peridot Road, both north and south of the Richardson Highway. He says customers who live in zones 3 and 4 along the northern edge of town will have to wait until next year to sign up.
We're hopeful that zones 3 and 4, the water mains, will be installed and completed by end of summer, early fall 2019. And customers in those areas would be able to sign up for water service installation for spring 2020.
About 700 potential customers live in the four zones combined. The estimate is included in a legal settlement reached last year to resolve claims about groundwater contaminated by sulfalane from a former North Pole oil refinery. The settlement between refinery owner Flint Hills Resources, the state of Alaska, and the city of North Pole provides up to $100 million to cover the water system expansion and other costs related to the contamination. Butler says Flint Hills is also providing an incentive to encourage people to sign up for water service.
Flint Hills Resources is offering $500 early sign-up bonus if people sign up before May 31, 2019.
Butler says the city of North Pole also has put together a package of incentives.
They'll have a $2,000 credit put on their utility bill so that you won't have to pay water bills right away. The deposit of $75 will also be paid. And also there's a utility charge called a facility repair and replacement that will be waived for all applicants until 2022.
Butler says Monday's town hall meetings will include updates on the water project. He says representatives from Flint Hills, along with the city and State Department of Environmental Conservation, will share information and answer questions. The fall research campaign at the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, or HARP facility, is scheduled to begin tomorrow. Projects will be conducted over 4 days at the University of Alaska Fairbanks Upper Atmospheric Research Facility near Gakona. UAF Geophysical Institute spokeswoman Sue Mitchell says the research spans practical and theoretical experiments involving space weather.
The impact of the sun and the solar wind on the Earth's magnetosphere and the ionosphere, which is the highest level of the atmosphere of the Earth.
Mitchell says project funders include Fourth State Communications, a Virginia-based private telecom company, the Office of Naval Research, and the National Science Foundation, which is backing a UAF researcher's experiment.
Chris Fallon is the chief scientist of HARP, and he's doing an experiment trying to create an artificial aurora or air glow.
HARP's network of radio antennas are used to stimulate the upper atmosphere, and Mitchell says projects must cover the cost of operating them.
We charge $5,000 an hour to operate HARP, and that helps to cover a lot of fuel for the generators and staffing, of course.
The upcoming HARP research campaign will be the fifth conducted since UAF took over the unique facility from the U.S. Air Force in 2015. Mitchell says the university is still striving to realize HARP's research potential.
This is a great facility. It's the best in the world, the most capable facility for this kind of research in the entire world, and there's a lot more that we could do, and we could operate it a lot more if we had the demand and the funding for it.
The ionosphere is of interest because it's the area of the atmosphere where the aurora occurs and which is used to transmit radio signals around the planet. The tied Fairbanks State House race was featured on MSNBC's Rachel Maddow show. Maddow highlighted the deadlock contest between Republican Bart Lebon and Democrat Catherine Dodge, which hinges on a pending decision on whether or not an outstanding ballot for Dodge should be counted.
A single ballot remains uncounted. Quote, that ballot was found in a gray secrecy sleeve on election night and was deposited in a ballot box normally used for absentee or questioned ballots.
The State Division of Elections is scheduled to announce a decision on the additional ballot for Dodge when a recount happens Friday.
That single ballot which could decide the whole thing, is still legally considered to be on the bubble because of the strange circumstances in which it was found.
The outcome of the House District 1 race will determine if Republicans have a majority or if the Alaska House is split 20-20. Maddow used the Alaska race and another one in Virginia with a similar situation earlier this year to emphasize the importance of voting.
If you get that happening in your country twice in 1 year, those are signs from the news god heavens that your voter registration matters and your efforts to vote matter, and it may all come down to you.
If the House District 1 race remains a tie, it'll be decided by the flip of a coin. Mississippi Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith won re-election in a runoff yesterday despite a controversy that blew up 2 weeks ago. Contributors to her campaign began demanding refunds after a video emerged of Hyde-Smith making a lighthearted remark about public hangings. But just as organizations like Major League Baseball and AT&T were asking for their money back, Senator Lisa Murkowski went all in with a maximum campaign contribution to her embattled Republican colleague. Alaska Public Media Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin asked Murkowski to explain.
Juneau resident Aaron Brakel sounded the alarm on Twitter after he saw a post about Murkowski's contribution to Hyde-Smith.
I was tremendously disappointed and upset.
So he did some research. He found out the Hyde-Smith campaign reported it received the contribution more than a week after the video emerged of Hyde-Smith praising a constituent like this. If he invited me to a public hanging, I'd be on the front row. Lots of people saw this as a reference to lynching. To Brakel, the remark was steeped in racism.
Public hanging. And we're talking about Mississippi, right?
According to the NAACP, no state saw more lynchings than Mississippi. Other social media posts emerged. Hyde-Smith in a Confederate soldier's cap saying it was Mississippi history at its best. Then a video of her joking about making it harder for liberals to vote. On November 20, Walmart and other prominent companies ended their support for Hyde-Smith and asked for their contributions back. And that same day, the campaign received $5,000 from Murkowski. Brakel says he considers it morally wrong.
I think Senator Murkowski needs to make a public statement explaining her contribution.
Murkowski says her PAC is given to Hyde-Smith three times this year for the primary, the general, and the runoff.
I made the contribution to her based on my relationship with her as an individual.
Murkowski says she doesn't know the timing of the latest $5,000 check. Hyde-Smith reported it on the 20th, but Murkowski says she's not sure if it was written before or after other contributors demanded refunds.
Were you disturbed by her remarks about the public hanging?
I was. And you know, wanted to know in what context it came about.
Murkowski says the context that ultimately mattered to her was everything she'd seen of Hyde-Smith since the new senator was sworn in April. And Murkowski says racism was not part of that picture.
One comment that is made at one gathering, I'm not going to let that be a determinant as to how I classify an individual.
Murkowski didn't ask for a refund, and she says she's looking forward to serving with Hyde-Smith in the years to come. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
And I'm Dan Bross.